The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
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 So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yes, we do, and there's a lot to talk about. And it feels like a Monday, but it's really kind of a Wednesday. But hell, it's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Raybould, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780, ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you could get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like, send a message. Aaron likes it, he'll read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. You want to watch us on Twitch and hear the commentary during the breaks? You can do that as well, twitch.tv/ESPN975. It's a Tuesday when usually you guys are in an awful mood. No reason to be. Short week. We got Carbach coming up on Thursday. We got NFL football coming up on Thursday. And that's only 2 days away. So let's be in a good mood. What's happening, Hoffman?
Not in a good mood.
Well, besides it being 12 degrees in here.
It is freezing cold in here. And
this is actually balmy compared to my office. I have
today
to
is a... Well, my office, too. Trust me. And today is a... It's a rough day. We lost a good one today. As apparently Fuddruckers is going the way of the dinosaur. RIP to Fuds.
Yeah, it kind of sucks. I like Fuddruckers.
I like that they've just got cheese sauce that you can just squirt onto your fries or burger however much you want. So, it, like, if you were to order... And most places, most fast food places, you can't order cheese fries. And if you do, they'll give you a nominal amount of cheese on the fries. At Fudd's, I mean, you could literally fill up one of those boats with cheese sauce and then take your fries from the fry boat and dip them into the, like, as and have as much as you want.
Yeah.
And if you want
a beautiful thing.
Oh, you want that cheese sauce on your burger? Here you go. You got it. And maybe I didn't give it enough respect when it was around. Maybe I didn't love it till it was gone.
That's a place I used to take my kids all the time because they loved it.
Yeah. Lubies also going away.
I was about to mention that.
A double homicide. As Lubies, apparently is the life partner of Fuddruckers, will also go away. I guess that's why many of them are connected. There's Lubies, Fuddruckers, like they're in the same buildings, which I find odd, but... we will lose both. And I wasn't a Luby's guy. I don't like cafeteria style service. That's not what I'm here for.
That was never going to survive the Rona, unfortunately.
Yeah. But that's why I led with Fuddruckers. I mean, no offense to any Luby's fans out there. I don't want to go back and make fun of their tweets on a day that they die, like Charlie Daniels.
You got to be sympathetic here.
And in fact, one of Charlie Daniels' last tweets was, Fuddruckers ain't going nowhere, brother. Oh, but it was wrong. No, actually, I said Benghazi ain't going nowhere, brother. I've misread that. I thought Benghazi... Sometimes my eyes see Fuddruckers and Benghazi the same, so apologies for that, for my dyslexia. But yeah.
Or Lysdexia, as Lysdexia, I like to call it.
Yeah. So it's gone. I don't know when they're closing down, but it looks like Fuddruckers is gone.
It kind of sucks. But, you know, it's one of those things. Had a lot of good good memories there taking my kids all the time. That was one of their favorite places to go. And so, we had a lot of good times there. Lubies, I don't know if I've ever been in a Lubies.
I've been to a Lubies once or twice.
Yeah.
And never liked it. But, you know, when you're a kid, you just go where your parents take you.
Yeah. Although I guess I'm not old enough quite yet to have been a Luby's regular. I'm sure in about 10 years.
You were going to be.
Yeah, I'll have the white tennis shoes and wear the golf outfit and the hat and walk in. But I can't do that now. That's a damn shame. All right. Well, what else is happening, man?
And if you don't accidentally mix up the CK and the DD and Fuddruckers at least once in front of your parents when you're a kid and then sell it off as like it was an accident, then you weren't living life. You weren't living life. That's what you had to do.
Oh, well, a lot of stuff happened this weekend.
Yeah, sports matches happened. College football games happened.
Boy, I was so excited for that BYU-Navy game because I thought, hey, you know what? This might be close and interesting. It's not going to be pretty, but it was nothing.
Man, I looked all day at BYU, and then at the end of the day, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to sit it out. And about 2 minutes in, I said, damn it. Why did you leave that money on the table? Why? But I think maybe I was a little, I may have been a little gun shy after I picked Middle Tennessee State to beat Army. My tried and true don't take the service academies as a dog.
Yeah.
Didn't quite work out.
Yeah, not the greatest betting weekend for me either. So and then of course I took a lot of grief because I didn't hit the Derby, which, you know, the right before the race when that other Baffert horse scratched, I'm looking at going, son of a, this Authentic's going to get the lead easy. And he got it. It wasn't easy. And went up the whole way and just made me look really bad. And nobody cares that I gave him an 8-1 on the undercard and a 4-1.
Yeah, that's one big race.
Yeah, nobody cares about that. Well, I don't want to say nobody. A lot of people who were betting along were very happy with those. But, yeah, so I missed, which sucks. But, hey, that's what you get. And then the rest of the time I just watched sport. And although Saturdays it was just a stressful day because – you know, I was responding to everybody who had questions about the races and the picks and stuff like that, and you know it was a lot of work because I probably put 20 hours worth of work into that damn card, and so that wasn't much fun. But then Sunday I went on a 3-hour bike ride, first time I've been out that long in a while.
Nice.
Almost died because it was so damn hot, but it was, you know, I was thinking, you know what, this will be great. Wednesday when that cold front comes through, I'm going to be out every morning again. And then Eric Berger tweets out the cold front's not going to make it down here. So our weather's still going to suck. But
I told you guys it wasn't going to be – you know what? I stand corrected. It is 55 degrees in our office today.
Yeah, yeah. You see? Okay, so there.
So they got me on that one. But nowhere else in Texas is it 55 – well, nowhere else in Houston is it 55 degrees. But in our office, it is.
Well, the other – and then I watched a lot of TV. I got caught up on The Boys. First three episodes of The Boys.
I watched the first two episodes. You say caught up. Have they only released
three? They've only released three, yeah.
And then how long do you have to wait?
Every Friday now.
Oh, I'm not even going to watch. I'm not going to watch tonight.
Yeah, well.
Don't they know it's football season now?
Like, I know. And see, I was able. Even
what a
with
bunch
all,
of idiots.
Even with all the sports, I was able to get it all in. But I'm going to have a hard time now watching these things on Fridays because, you know, there's sport. So, I mean, I'm going to have to watch it.
Oh, that's frustrating. Like I watched Saturday two episodes last night.
The third episode's the best.
I was able to cut off the BYU-Navy game a little early and say, you know what? No regrets whatsoever about not betting BYU. So I was able to just move on and watch the first two episodes of The Boys, which I thought were solid.
Yeah, the first two were solid. The third one, the way it ends, it's, to quote Carl Urban's character, bleeping diabolical.
So, am I the only one who, when they, when Maven or Maeve, whatever her name is,
Maeve,
yeah, when she goes to the hospital, is that her sister or her?
It's her ex-girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah, her ex-lover.
So, am I the only one who sat there for about the first 30 seconds and said, who the hell are these people? Or did you guys, could you guys tell? Because when she's not all dolled up.
No, because they brought her in last season.
Yeah.
No, I guess, yeah, well, it's been a while since I watched it.
It's been, 2 years probably, so.
But the point is, Maeve doesn't look like the superhero when she's not in her costume. She looks like a totally different person. And that's why when she was like, oh, I guess we've got to stay low key or whatever. I was like, no one would notice you out at a restaurant because I didn't recognize you. And I've been watching the show. I have no idea who you were. So, I'll honestly say, I think she's kind of hotter as a normal person versus a super. Same with Starlight. Hotter as a normal person than as the superhero. even though she wears the slutty costume,
yeah,
I'm more attracted to her as regular person.
I probably was a little, like, Val had the same problem. She couldn't remember a lot of the characters and stuff because it has been so long.
Yeah.
But I watched it with Katie again this summer, so I've seen it pretty recently. So I wasn't too confused, but, you know, it has been a while, and there's a lot of those characters, you kind of forget what happened. But the third episode was by far the best of the three, and, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with this. Before I get this, I got to tell you what not to watch.
Ooh.
Okay.
BYU Navy.
I've got something worse than BYU Navy. And I watched it yesterday because it was number one on Netflix and it looked like it had good reviews.
Middle Tennessee State Army.
Even worse than that.
Oh, okay. What do you got?
That stupid Mars show called Away.
Oh, I haven't even looked at it.
It's a big, and it like got all this critical acclaim. It is awful. Awful.
What's bad about it?
Well, let's see. For one thing, it's nothing but cliches. It's about this trip to Mars, right? And, of course, Hillary Swank is the main person.
Already hate it.
And she's terrible in it, I'm just going to tell you. And her daughter is, like, the most annoying in need of massive therapy
person. Has Hillary Swank
ever
been hot in a movie?
No.
Yes or no?
No.
I'm with you. I vote no.
And so I watched the first episode, and it's bad. I'm like, okay, but you know what? It's trying to set it up. I'll give a second episode a chance, and I watch that. And it's like, okay, this is bad, too. And now I'm like, you know what? I'm pot committed. I'm going to watch this damn thing. I want to see how bad it really is. So if you decide to watch it, let me just give you a little bit of advice. Anytime there's a scene with the daughter, fast forward through that. Anytime there's a scene where Hillary Swank is going, oh, I should be home with my horrible daughter. Fast forward through that. And the rest is okay.
All right.
But, yeah.
So, basically, just don't watch when the star or the second star are on the screen.
Because some of the other characters are pretty interesting. But, man, it's like every cliche. It's got the disease of the week thing. It's got the therapy thing. It's got the backstories on everybody thing. And it's just, it's almost like it's so ABC that it was just like, really? Yeah, my dog could have written this. So, anyway. But if you want to watch it, just
I don't
take my advice on that. I don't know how it's number one in America than it's just released.
I started watching the barbecue show on Netflix.
I have that. I think I'm going to watch that soon, too. That looked interesting.
The first chunk of it. I've gotten through the first. I think there's like four stories on it, and I've gotten through the first one, which is about Snow's Barbecue in Lexington, which is it was voted in 2008 and 2016 as the top barbecue place in the state of Texas, and it is fantastic, pretty unique place. But the lady that runs the pit there is like 100,
so they're not going to be number one for much longer.
Eventually, she gonna go. God bless Tootsie there, but and a lot of people have asked if I've watched Cobra Kai, and the answer is no. I don't really have interest in it. I'm maybe in the minority, but I think Karate Kid is not a very good movie.
I kind of thought there's way too much teen angst going on because it's more about the kids, so it's more of a kid show. It's kind of nice having some of the 80s flashback stuff. But on the whole, I don't think you would like it. I thought it was okay. I thought it ended really well. But it was, you know, if you're from the 80s, it's kind of cool. But I didn't really like Karate Kid that much either. I just liked Elizabeth Shue when she wasn't in season one.
Oh, there you go.
But all right, guys, I got to tell you about Lightstream. And you don't have to be an expert to know that consolidating credit card debt into one low fixed rate can save you money. And the way to do that, start saving today with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees, and that's exactly what they deliver. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. Lightstream's fixed-rate credit card consolidation loans start at 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit, and most credit cards are around 19% or higher. So do the math. You can save hundreds or even thousands depending on how much you have in credit card debt. And how about this? Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Fred for more information. Accept what you create. You need to know your place. 'Cause it's about to get heavy.
This is The Blitz, The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Boomtown Rat is a way worse than Uncut Gems. Yeah, because there were, what, 8 or 10 episodes of it versus just one bad movie. So, stay away from it, guys. So, a couple of things. Well, wait for AJ to get back before we get into them. But, texter asked, Fred, do you watch Ted Lasso on Apple TV? Yeah, thanks to Aaron. Aaron got me on that. And it's cute. It's a cute watch. It's not something you're going to, it's not like in-depth, but it makes me laugh. And
it puts me in a good mood.
Yeah, it's a little uplifting and fun. And it's not like I wait week to week for it like I will The Boys, but it's pretty good. So somebody says, you remember that episode on The Office where they debated if Hillary Swank was hot or not? I do not remember that one, but I don't really think it's a debate. I'll go worse. I just don't think she's a very good actor. And I know she won an Oscar. But I thought, I don't know that her performance in that was anything special either. I did also get on one thing that Hoffman has been watching for a while that I finally started watching in Gotham. And better than I thought. It's kind of
good.
Yeah, well, you know me, I'm always biased.
It's different, kind of clever.
Yeah, I'm biased against anything that was on network. So it's almost like I had to wait for it to come to Netflix to watch. And then I feel like, oh, it's a Netflix thing.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. I like Gotham.
So, somebody asked if we're going to talk about Odell Beckham Jr. today.
I'm sure we'll get to that at some point. I figured maybe before we get there, we can maybe talk about the Los Rockets that we didn't. We've got Astros. We've got a lot of stuff to talk before we get into
Deshaun Watson's deal. A lot of things. Yeah.
Before we get into Odell Beckham's bathroom habits, which, by the way, someone out there's, again, I used the restroom during the break, and there's poopy paper towels in the trash can.
Oh, come on, man. And before
I think it was Aaron this time.
Shame. Well, before we get to all that, I just want to mention, and I'll mention this a few times today, some really good news. If you are in the Sugarland Katy area, we have a new signal that you can go to. And actually, I've been listening to it for about a week now.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than the 97.5 signal in downtown.
Agreed.
The tower's downtown.
I've moved around and like tried to find where the limits on it. That's been one of my projects for the weekend, was nerding out and kind of figuring out how far our new signal will reach. And it's good, man. And it's like I live in Northwest Houston, almost Tomball area. And 92.5 is better where I live than 97.5.
Yeah.
I know it's way better out in Katy, Sugarland, Richmond, Missouri City, those areas. I think it's probably pretty comparable in Pearland, pretty comparable up in the Woodlands. And I think it's better in this part of town, like Galleria area. Well,
definitely, because my trip from downtown to the Galleria, it's clear as day. And so I've been listening to it, and frankly, I don't really drive anywhere else now besides home to the office. So I've been just leaving it on there. And so it's 92.5 FM. It's the same stuff you're getting here. And with all the local shows, there'll be some different things on overnights.
On overnights, yeah.
But very excited about this because, that's an area where we know we've been trying to work on for a long time to get Sugarland and Katy up to speed. And, kudos to David Gow and to AD for making all this happen. Because, the thing is, when we were dominating the ratings, we had 94.1 and people were able to hear us over there. And I think this signal's better.
It is better than 94.1. It's a stronger signal.
Yeah. So, if you're in the Sugarland area, or Katy, and you haven't been able to hear us, You know, there's a, I mean, our radio reach now, and I know we're not, you know, we've also got Twitch and stream and everything else, but our radio reach now is better than anybody's. I mean, you know, we go as far as Lake Charles to the east, and now the west side's covered, and you know, I mean, it's a really, really good footprint that we've got. It's going to be great for the listener. It's going to be great for our advertisers. It's going to be great for our shows. And frankly, that's all I care about.
So there's, and I've gotten a bunch of, different responses on where the signal's good, where the signal's bad. I've heard down by your house, 97.5 still better. That's still the go-to down towards.
Except for when we have the weather with like, what's it? Constructive interference or whatever, where that signal bounces from Corpus.
Tropospheric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When that happens, 92.5 still comes in clear enough that you can listen to it.
Okay.
Which only happened once so far.
But yeah, I mean, you've got options. I know basically anywhere west of downtown, 92.5 is probably going to be your better option.
Or downtown, frankly.
Or downtown.
I think, like I said, where I am, I've been about a week, I guess, and I'll flip back and forth to see which one's better. And 92.5 is just clear as day. I get to hear, John and Lance in the morning, and it sounds fantastic. So just flip back and forth. And if you're one of those guys that has to drive all over the city and, you know, you're going from Beaumont to Katy, well, guess what? You can now flip back and forth. So it's exciting news. I'm fired up about it. I think it's great for everybody. So, you know, get the word out to your friends out in Sugar Land and Katy that they can now hear us.
Dustin says, Pearland, 97.5 by far, 92.5, not as good there. That's fine. Like, that's the great thing. So what I'm asking you to do, this is my call to action for our fine listeners out there. I know probably that your wife has taken over all the presets except like one or two. Most dudes only listen to like two or three stations, and you know the fact is our main when you're a P1 of our station, when you're a primary listener of our station, your second and third stations are usually the Buzz and the Eagle. That's what we found through the magic of ratings. I think the Box may be number three, and then it gets to the AM station. So most of you probably, and you don't have to listen, the presets usually don't have to share the FM and the AM. So what I'm asking you to do is boot one of your wife's stations off of the FM presets and replace it with 92.5. That way 92.5 or 97.5, wherever you're at in the greater Houston area, you'll have a clear shot of us. How about that?
And or your husband's.
Or your husband's. Yeah. In fact, and if you're any rental cars you get in, change it to 92.5. If you work at an oil change place, change their presets to 92.5 when you change their oil.
And 97.5. It's not
and 97.5, yeah. It'll already be there. Everybody who gets their oil changed has 97.5 in their presets.
When you drop your car off to get your oil changed, leave it straight up on 97.5 and leave it cranked up. So when they get they hear it and they go, oh, wow.
Oh,
I should be listening to this every day.
What great programming.
You know what? We need to get our shop radio tuned.
That's right.
So, I will, and we'll keep reminding people here as we go along, because this is a, it's going to take a while for it. With 94.1, we already had programming on there when we brought that on board. So we had a built-in audience. So this one we got to build. And, you know, that's what we need you guys for. Help us get the word out. And while you're at it, get the word out about new brakes. Because, guys, if you're having brake problems, maybe you went for a trip over Labor Day weekend and you're driving back and your brakes are squeaking and you're like, I probably need to get this fixed, but I don't really have time to go into a shop. Well, you don't have to, because New Brakes comes to you. And if you're at work, they'll come to your office. If you're at home, they'll come there and take care of it. And they're convenient. They're 20 to 50% more affordable than shops and dealers on average. And you don't want to go sit in a shop right now. Who has time for that? Especially if you're working from home. And it's backed by a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. These are really good people who do high-quality work. And guess what? If you mention ESPN and receive, you'll get 10% off your service. So go to newbrakes.com, N-U-B-R-A-K-E-S.com, and punch in your information. They're going to reach out to learn more within a couple of minutes, and you're going to get a surprise-free repair quote. They're going to give you a worst-case scenario, so you're never going to pay more than what they tell you. That's newbrakes.com, N-U-B-R-A-K-E-S.com. Mention ESPN and get 10% off.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back. Somebody asked on the text line, was this deliberate to drop this right before football starts, or did it really take this long to get it going? It really took this long to get it going, but
it was all about finding the right signal, to be honest. We've actually been working on it for several months, and
pre-COVID even.
Yeah. So we were waiting for the right opportunity, and the right opportunity came along, and yeah, made the play.
Well, speaking of play, right opportunity came along for your Rockets in game one, and then not so much in game two, but I mean, I really admired the way they fought back into it.
I think there was some real promise with the way that they played in game one, and not, you know, shooting a million threes. That was the fewest threes they'd taken in a game since March 10th.
Yep. More than the Lakers, as a matter of fact.
They didn't go out there and do their basic Rocket thing. That's not what they were looking to do. Game two, it started out kind of the same way. Like they were going back to the old way. And to their credit, the Lakers adjusted.
Right.
The Lakers made a big adjustment, and you could offensively, and the Rockets started to have a hard time. And mostly the adjustment was Anthony Davis turned into one of the five best players in the league. Which he has the ability to at times. And he just had his way. P.J. Tucker got into early foul trouble, and things just kind of started to unravel. The Rockets, though, came back, made a game of it, and end up losing. But valiant effort to get back in the game, I would say. You know, I don't know... I don't know if the Rockets can win this series, but I do think that they are at least going to be competitive in it, which is, you know, more than a lot of people would have thought. I do think if they get blown out in game three, you could see it kind of unravel on them, because I think after game two, it felt like, man, they gave it everything they had to get back in that game and came up short. That can be deflating. And if you follow that up with just getting thumped, then it's like, well, where's our gas now?
I'm less worried about that with them, though, because if they come back in game four and start hitting all their threes again, you know, they said they're a front runner, and you know, they need to get out there and get the lead and hit a bunch of threes and then not choke. I think it's going to be an interesting series. I still think Lakers in six. I thought the Rockets would win two games all along, but, you know, I love the way they played game one. I like the adjustments the Lakers made in game two. And then the Rockets, you know, kind of made some adjustments back in that third quarter, and just didn't have enough at the end. So, I think I'm interested to see how this plays out, because I don't think they're going to get blown out. I think they've got enough to hang with these guys. And the Lakers are good, but they're not Warriors good. Now the Rockets aren't as good as they were when they played the Warriors either.
No,
but let's see what Clyde has to say about it. What's up, Clyde?
Hey guys.
Sports, Clyde.
I want to ask y'all both, and I respect y'all's opinion. If the Rockets don't make it this year, who would you suggest as a coach and a center? My pick is, but they ain't going to let him go from Philly. And I hang up and listen.
Your pick, Joel Embiid is your pick? Yeah, I think that would be the pick of almost every team in the NBA for their center. But
hey,
I don't think they're going to let him go from Philly.
Before we fire D'Antoni, can we just kind of let him play the series first? I mean, what if they beat the Lakers?
But I do think that we're sort of wasting time.
I agree, but I also think, you know, let's. I know people love to speculate about things that haven't happened yet. That's life. But can we? What if they win tonight? You're gonna ask about firing D'Antoni again? And if they win the series, he might stick around. So let's actually enjoy the games and analyze those and hold off on the speculation.
Okay,
is that fair?
I'll give it a minute.
Okay, I mean if you want to speculate, go ahead. I just prefer to actually.
I do think. I mean, yeah, they're gonna play the series, but I think we've been speculating for some time that. This is probably the end of the road for D'Antoni.
Yeah. Although to be fair, I don't think there's going to be a lot of Rockets talk once this series is over, because we're going to be into football. So, I think
it's about as convenient as can be for them.
Yeah. But Yeah, because I think that's it's going to be much like O'Brien getting excused last year by the Astros scandal. I think it's going to be the same thing. The Rockets are going to have all this offseason drama, and nobody's going to care because, you know, the Texans are going to have upset the Chiefs of the Ravens. So, there. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And, yeah, so that Celtics came back with a nice win. So, looks like they're, you know, they're it feels like they're in more control of that series than just 3-2.
It does because, they outplayed the games that they've lost, they were handling and then let them slip away. You have breaking news?
D'Antoni fired?
Now, that would be a surprise.
Negative. Per Shams, Giannis is out game 5 versus the Heat.
Well.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I think when you're down 3-1, you look at things and you say the long term is more important than the short term. It's obviously pretty disappointing, but I don't know that you were going to beat the Heat with him. So why risk any
I don't
kind
think
of
you're
injury?
Winning 4 in a row with the guy the way they're playing. And, you know, he's.
I mean, the one game that they won when he went out.
So
they're just it's a bad matchup.
Ooh, I wonder how much that line's going to move with that announcement. Just
who knows?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not playing it, so.
I doubt they were favored to begin with.
Probably not, but I'm guessing it moves, though. He's got to be worth a few points.
I think the line, whatever the line was probably, I mean, because he was doubtful to begin with, I think. So I would guess it was
probably factored
into the line, but.
My bookie currently has the Bucks at +5.
Okay.
Yeah, that's definitely with him out.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're, and your Clippers are now up 2-1 as well. I know you were worried about them.
I was deathly worried. I think that we're seeing, you know, the kind of what we thought we'd see, with the exception of that one series, the exception of, and I guess the Celtics Raptors that was kind of a toss up series before we started things, but the two Western Conference series, I think, depending on what happens tonight, I shouldn't write the Rockets off yet because, like I said, I do give them a better chance now than I did before I saw these two games, but it seems like things are starting to roll the way they were supposed to roll the whole time. The Clippers and the Lakers were supposed to start getting some momentum and be the two teams.
And I still think whoever wins Lakers-Clippers is going to win the whole thing, but...
I think so, too. Yeah.
Got to get there first.
Yep.
And I just haven't seen anything on that other side of the bracket that... the Bucks have never looked even this close to what they were since they came back to the bubble. I mean, they were losing games that they would have never lost before then. So, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And your Houston Texans quarterback has a new contract.
Yeah, we kind of knew this was going to happen. The highest paid quarterback not named Patrick Mahomes in the league. I don't want to poo-poo the moment. I'm happy for the guy. I think Deshaun's
You don't want to OBJ it?
No, I think Deshaun's a good guy. I think he's a very good quarterback. But I've said all along, if you couldn't win, and really you couldn't even come close to winning when Deshaun was one of the lowest paid guys on your team, now that you've made him one of the highest paid guys in the league, it's going to become that much more difficult. And this year it won't have much of an impact. Going forward after this year, you're going to start to see the difference when there's no money to sign free agents and things like that.
The one thing I kind of like about the way this deal is structured is the next 2 years aren't that much more money. I mean, he's going to make $9 million cap hit this year, so he's getting basically doubling his salary. It was ridiculous that he was going to make less than the kicker was.
Yes.
And then next year, he's going to still make the 15 that he was scheduled to make. You know, he's got the signing bonus money, which is what makes it good. But then there's 2 years, 2022 and 2023, and those are the 2 years you need to be. This is where all this is going to come into play. Now, I'm assuming J.J. Watt's off the books by then.
Yeah.
But $40 million he's going to make in 22. And then in 23, he's going to make $42 million a season. So those are the 2 years where it's really going to be difficult to build the roster. I mean, I think they're kind of set up for these first couple of years where they can do some things, but those two, it's going to be really tough. And then in 24, it drops to $34 million. In 25, it's $32 million. So the back end of the deal, it's going to look like a bargain then, but those 2 years in the middle there are the ones where you go, whoa, 40 and 42.
Yeah.
I mean, he was going to get paid. I don't think it was as big as I thought they were going to do it. Because you know they overpay for everything, and I was just assuming they were going to overpay for this. And, I think they're overpaying, but it's not totally ridiculous. Except for those 2 years that concerned me a little bit, because you are going to have some trouble building around that.
Yeah.
Especially if the cap goes down.
I think it was a... It was a tough spot because I'm with you. I knew they were going to pay above market value because that's what they do. I'm glad that they didn't get quite to that Mahomes number. But now you have to consider that you're paying Deshaun Watson more money than Russell Wilson makes.
Yeah.
And Russell Wilson has a Super Bowl. And Russell Wilson had a Super Bowl before he got paid. So now you're paying for something that you haven't seen in the first several years of this guy, and you're just assuming that it's going to happen. I never am a big fan of that.
Well, I've said all along I would have played it out for one more year.
It didn't make sense not to.
Yeah, but if you've made up your mind that this is the guy, then it's not. I mean, in a perfect world, does he make as much as Russell Wilson? No, but we know this isn't a perfect world. There's guys who make more money than players that are better than them. It happens all the time. It's just when their contract comes up. And I think in this case, I'm not nearly as upset by the contract as I thought I was going to be. Because I got the feeling they were just going to pay this cat $40 a year. And it was going to be ridiculous. And it's really not. It's 2 years of... a very difficult working around the cap, maybe three, maybe that third year at 34. But by the time you get to the end of it, a $32 million quarterback deal is going to be a bargain.
Maybe so.
For a starting quarterback, if he develops. I mean, that's the other thing. More on that when we come back right now. I want to welcome back Harry's Razors to the show. And the only razor I use, and guess what? They've come out with their sharpest blades ever. And unlike some other razor companies, they're not charging you more for their product improvements. Harry's new sharper blades are still as low as $2 each. And man, guys, I love my Harry's razors. I have not used another one since, and they've just been fantastic. I love ordering them online. I don't have to go to the store and worry about it. Now, you can get them in the store now, but you can find Harry's new sharper blades in big box, drug, and grocery stores near you. They're all over the place now. But if you like to shop online, which, hey, it's a good idea right now, you can get a trial set for just $3 when you use code KFNC at checkout on harrys.com. And they stand by 100% quality guarantee. And the new blades are so sharp that in a study with guys shaving four times a week, they reported that the eighth shave was as smooth as the first with the new blades. Harry's is available wherever you shop. You can get Harry's sharpest blades ever in a big box, drug, and grocery stores near you. Just head on over to the grooming aisle. And if you want to shop online, Harry's has a great offer just for our listeners. New customers get $5 off a Harry's trial set with code KFNC at harrys.com. Includes a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Don't forget to use code KFNC at checkout and give Harry's sharper blades a try.
Groove. Some say she's possessed, but I wouldn't say this.
At ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776. ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Happy Tuesday. So a couple things on the contracts. So somebody on Twitch said it's going to kill the Texans. Here's the year that you're going to have over $60 million tied up in two players. 2023, when Watson has that $42 million deal, Laremy Tunsil's making $21.7 that year. And I mentioned 2022 and 2023 were going to be the big years. Tunsil makes 21 in 2022, and Deshaun will make 40. So here's where you're going to have to say goodbye to Whitney Mercilus, maybe.
Yeah, who's almost certainly.
14.5 that year. Although, that deal, that one's the one that makes no sense. More so than the Watson and Tunsil deals. He'll make $14 million in 2023 also. Bernardrick McKinney, $10 million, and he's going to be gone. And that's how you're going to have to do it. You're not going to be able to keep paying guys like that if you're going to pay those two that much money. And that's without JJ even in the picture at that point. So, yeah.
Well, I don't want this to sound like it's the first time I've said it, because it's not. But once you pay Deshaun, the whole operation changes. And that's what I think you're going to see happen. I mean, the years when you 23 is when it really starts to cramp down on you.
At 22, actually.
23.
Yeah, those are the 2 years I'd be worried about in terms of roster building, because that's also years where draft picks from last year and this year would start becoming your star players. So that's a concern, because they don't have any draft picks this year. They have picks. They just don't have high picks.
Right.
And
but it's you're not going to be able to get away with. Here's the thing. You've got to start finding bargains. And if there's one thing that Bill O'Brien has proven to me he's incapable of doing, it's finding bargain players.
I don't know if that's fair. DJ Reader was a bargain player. You couldn't afford to keep him, but he was a bargain for you. They've had a few guys like that were bargain players, but
okay.
But in fact, Zach Cunningham was a bargain until this year.
Until you pay him.
Right. But I mean,
well, you're talking about guys you drafted.
I know, but guys can't stay bargains forever.
Okay, well, you can't just. Okay, how many teams live off only the guys they drafted?
Well, I mean, that.
What's the last Texans free agent signing that you said, you know what? They got a good deal on that. You can't remember one. There hasn't been one in the O'Brien era.
I don't know about that. I mean.
Go ahead then. I'll wait.
I'd have to go back and look.
I'm going to tell you now, you're not going to find one. You're not going to find one. It's been he pays sticker price or higher other teams' guys, and sticker price or higher on his own guys.
Tyrann Mathieu on a 1 year deal was a good
deal after a guy who's coming off an injury.
Yeah, for $8 million.
Okay, well,
Bradley Roby last year on a 1 year.
Bradley
deal.
Bradley Roby played like 8 games last year. Yep. What a deal! Then you pay him.
Well, you just
like he played 16.
You're just not going to give him credit for anything, are you?
When you get a guy and you say, okay, you're on a prove it deal, how many games? 8, 10 games?
Played 8 games.
Okay, and you say, yep, great deal. Let's pay him. That's what he did.
So
you're saying that's smart business.
No. See, here's where you're just totally making stuff up right now, because we're talking about when was the last time they signed a free agent on a good deal. I think that last year was a good deal. This year, no.
You think it was a good deal?
Yeah, I think
it
was.
You got 8 games out of him.
You got 8 games.
Great deal.
And you found a number one corner. Now, I think he overpaid
enough.
He's
not a number one corner.
For them, he is. Who else is going to play one?
He's not a number one corner in the NFL.
No, but
you decided, well, we got to pay him like one because he's the
closest thing we got. But you're talking about this contract, which I don't agree with. I don't agree with
you. Okay, well, if you think they got a good deal on the 8 games that they paid for him last year, then okay, we see things differently.
How about Carlos Hyde, who you traded for? That's
not a free agent signing.
Oh, come on. Now you're just splitting hairs. That was a bargain for the price he was. It was a bargain.
Okay. Well, that makes up for David Johnson, I guess.
Well,
that makes up for Nick Martin and Kaimi Fairbairn and Whitney Mercilus.
I agree with you on all that. I'm not trying to argue with it. Those were stupid signings, but let's not just say that everything they've done is stupid.
I'm saying you can't make dumb free agent signings. You can't spend money. I don't want to say a dumb money, because some of these guys were good guys that you wanted to keep. I think Zach Cunningham is a guy you wanted to keep. You didn't have to pay Zach Cunningham like he was a great player.
Well,
he's not a great player.
Well, I'll go back to what I've been saying all along. Whitney Mercilus and Bernardrick McKinney should not be getting paid like that.
No.
Nick Martin should not be getting paid like that.
Kaimi Fairbairn should not be getting paid.
Oh, no, you shouldn't pay your kicker.
You can say, well, it's just nickels and dimes. But now, that you've got a quarterback making this percentage of your salary cap, you have to watch the nickels and dimes. And the reason why Seattle's remained competitive after paying Russell Wilson is because they've got a really smart front office. And they've known when to let guys walk away, even though it's been uncomfortable at times to let those guys walk away.
Richard Sherman and guys like that, yeah.
They've let them walk away, and they've continued to draft well. The Ravens do that all the time. The Ravens, even after they paid Joe Flacco, they were able to remain at least competitive because they've got a smart front office. Nothing about the Texans' front office in the history of their front office has said, you know what? These are guys I can trust to make good decisions.
Oh, well, that's a different discussion. I mean, but like John says, would Hyde still be a bargain if they kept him? No.
No.
If they'd paid $5 million a year, then no. But the one thing that, and this is why I'm trying to point out the year by year, because I think the easy thing is just to say, oh, well, he's going to make all this money. The first 2 years of this deal, he's not making much. So you still have that window that you're talking about for two more years. The problem is who you've spent it on. And yeah, I think like going into next season, you're going to have to make a decision on a guy like David Johnson. You're going to have to make a decision on a guy like Brandon Cooks. If they play to, and you did give up picks for those guys, so the thought should be they're going to be good enough to keep. But those prices are high. And you can clear room by getting rid of them, but then it goes back to, okay, was that really the right asset to acquire? And no, I don't trust them. They haven't done anything yet that shows me they can trust them. But, you know, the other thing is the Seahawks since then have kind of been the Texans. They get to the playoffs. They don't really do anything.
Does that make you feel better?
No.
Because guess what's going to happen to the Texans? And think about this. No. Before they paid Russell Wilson, the Seahawks were a team capable of going and winning a Super Bowl. The Texans were capable, before paying Deshaun Watson, of winning a crappy division and losing in the playoffs. Do you think that improves now that they've paid Deshaun? That's the whole question.
I don't think it's as bad as you do, because there is more flexibility in the contract. Like I said, those 2 years are the ones I'd be most worried about. And the rest of it, there's still room to do stuff. But you're going to have to get rid of some of these overpaid guys, which so far they haven't shown they're willing to do. And by overpaid, I'm talking to you, Whitney Merciless.
You're probably talking to J.J. Watt.
And that's the thing.
And now you're saying, who replaces those guys?
Well, that's the other issue. And that's the thing is Blacklock going to be the next J.J. Watt? Okay, we'll see. But that's where you're not having the draft picks hurt. And that's why I think some of these moves they made for this year, fine and dandy, it better work for this year, because you don't have a lot of guys that you can develop. Now you can, and they don't go and get bargain basement signings like what the Cowboys did this year. See, that's what they should have been doing. A lot of those guys they picked up late in free agency. Now they already cut Clinton Dix. But some of those guys on 1 year deals, good players that might work out. And I like what they've done and they've had their cap issues, and they had to pay their quarterback at least for 1 year a bunch of money. So Dak is making three times what Deshaun is this year.
This year.
And so they're having to work around that.
Dak was drafted before Deshaun, yeah. So that's not really a fair comp.
Well, it kind of is, because I'm trying to give you an example of what kind of free agents the Texans are going to have to go get. And that the Cowboys are a positive example of how to do it.
What I'm telling you is the Texans have not proven that they do that.
No, they haven't proven they do that, but that's how they're going to have to do it, because they're going to be forced into it. And that's the model you need to use. And I don't know that I trust them to go out and get these guys, but yeah, you know, I do think at some point, though, you do have to jettison some of these other cats.
His percentage of the cap, 4.5% this year, which is, I mean, that's great for a quarterback of his caliber. 17.8% 2 years from now. So it quadruples over the next 2 years, and then it stays the same in 2023.
I mean, but what's your option, though? That's what I want to know. I mean, you give me a realistic alternative to signing Deshaun Watson.
Same thing that the Cowboys have done with Dak Prescott. That's the realistic option.
Well,
and see if he gets any closer. And after two more years of this, if the Texans are still winning the division and doing nothing else, or not winning the division and doing nothing else, then you say, you know what? Maybe Deshaun Watson, as talented as he is not the guy who's going to lead us to the promised land or to where we want to be.
Well, I don't think he's going to as long as Bill O'Brien's here, but you know, obviously the GM is not going to think that way.
Exactly.
But no, I mean, I said all along, let it play out this year, extend him next year. And, you know, I would have liked to see what he does now that O'Brien has everything his own way and he's made all the decisions. Then there's no excuse. If he doesn't win, that's on him. So if I'm Watson, I go ahead and play for $4 million this year, less than a kicker. And I go out, and if I do something big, I'm getting Pat Mahomes money. But the real issue is this team's secondary sucks. I don't think the defensive line's any good. I think these linebackers that they paid, I mean, Cunningham's good, but he's not worth that. McKinney's not worth what they paid him.
And they also just traded away their best player for a bag of beans and a bad contract.
I do think that I hated that trade, and I think we all know that, but I think they could potentially replace that production, and you know, and they're going to need to. But you also have to have these guys stay healthy.
I've never understood that logic that these mid-grade players are somehow going to replace what DeAndre Hopkins was.
Because you're spreading the ball around to more players, theoretically. And, you know, I mean, I think, again, it depends on being – the one that kind of confuses me is Randall Cobb. I think they overpaid for him. I don't know. I think he's okay. I mean, I think Cooks, when healthy, is a really good player. I'm not counting Will Fuller in any of this. I think you can throw the ball to Stills more.
Isn't Brandon Cooks already hurt?
He's limited in practice.
It's coming, baby.
And in theory, yes, you could get as much out of those two guys as you got out of Hopkins. And, you know, but I don't know that that's going to happen. And again, that's the positive spin, but I don't know what's going to happen.
And I'm of the belief how much did the Saints spread it around last year?
Well, they've done that in the past. They've got, and I think.
But they had a special player last year.
They did.
And they said, you know what? Let's throw him the ball a lot. And he caught the ball 149 times. The next closest receiver on the list caught the ball 30 times last year. And you know what? The Saints probably looked at their passing offense and said, yeah, not bad.
Yeah, except I don't think DeAndre Hopkins ever had 149 catches.
No.
You targeted him as much.
But do you agree he's in the same conversation as Michael Thomas?
I think he is, yeah.
I'll say this. Deshaun never had Alvin Kamara standing behind him either, which makes a big difference.
No.
And I got news for you, Texans fans. David Johnson is not Alvin Kamara. I know that's going to be very disheartening to some of you, because I know some of you still have his football card from 2016 or he was whenever the hell he was decent.
He was on your fantasy team.
Yeah, he won you a championship back in 2016.
Yeah, I mean,
last time Kaepernick was in Madden.
I 100% agree on all of those things being bad deals, but it doesn't mean everything they've done is just wrong. I mean, that's overstating it. They have done a few things right, or else they wouldn't have had a friggin' 10-win season last year.
Or they have a guy who's just keeping them afloat when it's not a very good football organization.
It's possible, but they also were going to the playoffs with Brock Osweiler at quarterback. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it comes down to Bill O'Brien is a pretty average coach who may have a special talent at quarterback. I don't know. I think we need to see.
You have to see it. He paid him like he's a special talent.
Yeah, well, everybody's paid their quarterback, though. I mean, Andy Dalton got paid back in the day.
And how'd that work out?
It didn't, but Cam Newton got paid. Ryan Tannehill got paid. I mean, all these guys, when
you're giving me a bunch of examples of failures.
I am.
That's not making me feel good.
Well, I'm sorry.
That's not what I'm looking for.
I'm not here to make you feel good.
I thought that was the goal. I thought that was you were playing the other side of this where you were going to make me feel better about it. You're giving me a bunch of examples like Matt Stafford and Andy Dalton. Like, you got to pay these guys. And it's like, oh, great, I paid them. Now we continue to be the exact same team we were before we paid them, if not worse.
That's an organizational issue, and I think that's your problem. I think it's an organizational issue.
And that's sort of the thing that people don't want to say, but the Texans are towing the line to where they're not too far from becoming an organization like that, like the Bengals or the Lions. And I never would have thought that before, because they haven't been a historically awful organization, but they've made some really awful moves recently that make me think they're trending towards that.
Well, I don't want to tell you how you, to do your job as program director, but we've blown through the break, so could you please tell the people
Yes, I'm going to tell people that we're going to be at Carbach on Thursday. That's 2 days from now. Those of you hearing us for the first time this week, it's actually not Monday. It's Tuesday today. So in 2 days, we'll be out at Carbach. We'll be out there. Josh Innes will be out there. So our shows will be on from 2 to 7, and we'll be there for the Astros game at 2. Or 2:30, maybe the Astros start. But either way, we'll be there for that. And then I'm going to be hanging out after and watching some American football with the Houston Texans and the Kansas City Chiefs, the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. Should be a fun night of drinking beer, eating food. They're back open, which is a great thing. The beer that Eric and I brewed together will be available on tap for the first time. The Black is Beautiful that they brewed will be available. So lots of big things going on. So join us out there on Thursday from 2 to 7 at Carbach. And when you get out and about this week, make sure you grab yourself some Carbach.
Body to body until my spirit's path meets its end. And I'm called home to the source to sleep again. Till I meet it once more to descend.
Your name, please. Your name.
ESPN 97.5 KFNZ Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadda Jewelers.